We are back, right? We're back.
We're back, yes.
Let me just say this. We were just rocking to Old Dirty Bastards.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Although they say Auntie Hour, people think like old gizzards and stuff like that. Like, no, this is definitely spicy fried.
ODB is my Oprah. Go-to. Get me ready to go to do something.
I was surprised. Go I was to. Like, okay. And it was like all three tracks that I played. And she was like, yeah. I was like, okay. I had to hide my purse. I said, wow, a whole other side of Joanna.
Yeah.
So all that you know, this lady's spicy right here. Like, don't think Auntie Hour, like, we are, we're snapping peas.
No snapping
right
peas.
On the porch and
knitting booties and whatnot.
No, that's not what this is about at all. So how are you? What's going on? Welcome back to the Auntie Hour.
Yes,
thank
yes.
y'all. Welcome
and
back.
This is
our time. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm really excited to tell you about this new thing that's happening in my life.
This is good. This is the tea. Go ahead. Give me.
I have a crush.
Ooh.
I'm so excited about
this. Oh, that's
cute. He's just, I see him and every thought that I had in my mind just completely leaves. I'll be in the middle of a thought. Boom, it's gone.
Wow.
I'm just enamored.
You are enamored by him.
Just talking about him now, like I don't know. He's just so, he's handsome, but he's so smart.
So do you all like, do you talk to each other? Or is this somebody you just pass and
we
you
talk,
say nothing, you get shy?
We talk, and then he hugs me when
good.
He sees me. Oh yes, he smells very good.
That smell good thing is a
and
big
he gives
deal.
Really great hugs.
Oh, good hugs. Yeah, that's nice.
Yes, uh-huh. And he's always saying stuff like, when you gonna come see me? When come on, you know.
He knows what it is. Oh, he know what it is.
Oh, yes.
Because your body spoken was like, you could get it.
Yes.
That's what happened. It was coochie talk.
So I'm going to be like really, I never really thought that would happen to me.
But a crush makes you feel young. That's why I think that when you say like, I got a crush, it's something that is making you feel youthful.
It's not like, I gotta pay my bills. It reminds me of like when I used to talk to my boyfriend on the phone for 3 hours.
And draw hearts.
Yeah, and all that, you know.
Ooh, just doodle for no reason, just making hearts on hearts on hearts on hearts on hearts.
So, but you know what? I'm kind of running away from him in a way.
Why?
Because.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Because I just am afraid as to where that would lead.
Okay.
And I'm really have been, well, remember we talked about the D before.
Oh yeah.
And me and the D.
Oh yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
We had that conversation in the past about how the D has just completely sidetracked me from all kinds of stuff that I was supposed to do.
Well, listen, I don't know to advise you to, you know, go one way or the other, but I will say this. At some age, if you can call yourself the Auntie Hour, right, then you have made it this far. You know how to compartmentalize. You know how to strategize. You know how to prioritize. You like how I just did that?
I like how you just did that.
So, yeah, I flow. Put a little beat to it. So, with that being said, I would definitely say make that a part of your regimen. Put the D in your regimen. Put it in your diet. It's good for you. You need it in your life. You need it in your life because you're a happy person, but I bet you'd be 100 times happier. She had a little attitude this morning, like, hello, what's him? I don't know how to be nobody but me, so I said it to Joanna. I was like, well, you know, you were quite chipper. I guess we'll work on that later today. But
yes, she did say that.
Oh, like, oh, you know, just some people just be stagging. You'd be like, I don't even, you know, I'm not coming, you know what? But guess what? It's more than a glass of wine. We'll fix that attitude.
Right.
More than a glass of wine. It's going to kink that attitude right out there, honey. What? Locks is going to be all straight. Like, what happened? She has a whole new attitude. So, yeah, go for it. And if that's what it is, then that's just what it is. You can do it. You come so far in life. You have, that's one thing. That's we're women. We're resilient. We can do it.
Well, you know, there's also that I was saying, we talked about this before,
mm-hmm.
that I think I am polyamorous.
I love it. So why are you running?
So I don't think he's into that.
You need to get a couple more in your camp.
Right. I need to set up everything properly.
Okay.
And figure out how I'm going to navigate
your
this
crew.
Space.
Get your crew together. That's all I hear. I hear poly, I think of a crew. I got a crew of people that I roll with. No, that's not it.
A posse.
Right.
Right. It's a posse of folks.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I have the energy for all that.
Okay.
You know, because that means if I'm in relationships with more than one person, I have to give them as well.
Everybody has to have some.
Everyone has to have some, so I don't know if I have enough energy to be giving out, cookies to everybody.
But you feel like you're flexible enough to be in the community. See, I have to learn a little more. I know we're going to get into it.
Let's stop the second guessing.
Okay.
And bring our expert.
Thank you.
On... sexologist Renee Yvonne.
Renee,
so she can just kind of
Renee, come here quick. We need to talk to you.
We just making stuff up. I'm making up stuff.
I thought poly was an ice cream flavor. So she has basically enlightened me that I will not find this in Carvel. So if you can help me out with this, what is the polyamorous and what? Because she said she wants some, she doesn't want some. She's running. Help us. Gen sexologist, Ms. Renee. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me again. This is a great topic, and I'm excited to hear that you're looking into this, Joanna. So polyamory literally just means many loves. And
many
the
loves.
That's literally what it means. Uh-oh. And in reality, if you take the word monogamy, there's very few animals in this species that are monogamous, as in they meet one other species and then they stay together for life. That's the true definition of monogamy. Mm-hmm. Most of us are not monogamous. Most of us date lots of people throughout our lives, and we may even marry multiple people throughout our lives. Mm-hmm. So in reality, we are a little polyamorous, but when you think of the polyamorous lifestyle, what most people are considering is someone who has multiple partners at the same time. And that sounds like what Joanna is looking for.
Oh, multiple at the same time.
Yeah. Or at least one other. You know, like your main partner and someone else.
It sounds green.
It sounds green.
It's like I've said this before, like when you're Panera Bread and they said you want bread, apple, or chips, I want them all. Ask me something stupid like that. I want all three of them. So I'm poly too?
You're poly. You like poly food.
I'm being silly.
Well, I mean, see, that's the thing. Relationships take time and energy. And this is where I'm not really sure if I have the time or energy to invest in maintaining more than one relationship. Because that means that everyone needs to feel as though they're a part of my life.
Okay.
And so this is the question that I have. You know, yeah, I see and understand, especially the way that you broke it down, Renee, about your wanting to go to baseball games. I think that's what you said the last time. Baseball games, and, you know, if you're with someone who doesn't like baseball, then that means you're never going to baseball games. I mean, so I'm thinking that maybe there is a way for me to strategically figure out who these people are and maybe what need they fill and what need I can fill for them, because this shouldn't be just me taking, and that's not something that I'm comfortable with doing to anyone. So.
Okay, I am.
Mm-hmm. I'm just not. I mean,
very comfortable, sleep very good.
Maybe I need to learn how to do that. But I misspoke earlier about polygamy and polyamory, and I think that I am doing something that a lot of people do. Can you explain to those of who are watching what the difference is?
Yeah, so polyamory means many loves. People often use those interchangeably, because polygamy means that you have more than one spouse, typically a husband with more than one wife. So that's the definition. So
only men.
Yeah, there's polyandry. That's a woman with more than one husband.
Okay, so polyandry. That sounds like a person. Like, I know polyandry, she ain't shit.
Yeah.
I didn't even know about Angie. Thank you.
Wait a minute now.
I know something
polyandry.
About
polyandry. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's me, because one husband was enough.
Okay.
I don't know if that's me, but I do feel like there are things that I like to do. A great example of that is I love to go dancing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I would love a man in my life who likes to do that too.
Nice. Okay.
You know, and yeah. We go out and we go dancing and we have a good time. So that I would love.
Okay.
And there are different types of polyamorous type of relationships, right?
There can be, yeah. So this is where I would start with you or with anybody. I would say do research on it to figure out if it's a lifestyle you want. Some of the best books I've read on it. There's one called The Ethical Slut, and it's all about polyamory and opening up your relationship. There's another one called Opening Up, and there's another one called Designer Relationships. And that's probably my favorite one right now, because designer relationships takes you out of the mindset of it has to be just you and one other person, and it allows you to freely explore, like, maybe I want something different, or maybe I want this person, but I also would like to go dancing with someone else because my main partner doesn't want to. And it doesn't mean it's about sex. And I think that's a misnomer that happens, or misconception rather, that happens with polyamory, is that it gets over sexualized. It always becomes about, oh, it's always about you having sex with this person, or we're having threesomes or orgies. And sometimes it really is about just the intimacy between two people, that this is the person that I do these things with. And then I have somebody, I have a main partner that maybe I raise the kids with, or what, you know, I'm doing other things with them. And I have this other partner who fulfills another side of me that isn't being fulfilled by my main partner. So I would start with doing some research on it to see what it's all about. How does it work? How do we communicate? You know, what boundaries need to be set? What do we need to talk about? And how do I introduce this to someone who may not know anything about polyamory, or is in that state of mind of like, oh, no, no, no. One man, one woman, this is it. And that may not be the person for you if that's not what you're looking for. So just being able to talk about that with someone who isn't quite open to it, maybe, you know, is an eye opener. Like, I've had those conversations with guys, like, all guys want it until they meet a woman who wants it. Then they don't want it.
Now, the shy, Emmett, sounds about right. The everything shy. Changes okay. All of a sudden, yeah. So it sounds to me like a lot of people practice already and they don't even know they're practicing. So, like, let's say you hear people say, like, my work husband or my work wife. To me, like, you know, shoot, well, I thought you had, like, three jobs. Like, really? Yeah. So you got a different, like, right. work husband or wife in right. every job?
Yeah.
You know, and not to say that this would really be, like, polygamy or even, you know, polyamorous, but it's a little bit of practicing that, like, I share my spouse with somebody. You know what I mean? And somebody else does, you know, other things. Or I think of the song Clean Up Woman. I need to clean, right? And I don't know, you know, I just know a little bit of what that's all about. And in reality, she's letting it be known, like, let her, like, have a job, like, clean that all up. She right. didn't even, you know, didn't even care. So she's kind of sharing her man, too, in a sense, right?
Right.
I'm going to let you guys know how this journey posted. Goes.
Go for it. It's interesting.
And I don't know what I'm going to do about my crush, because I just, when I tell you that, I was at this place and he walked into a room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he walked into the room. I'm not going to say where I was at, but I was at this place. And he walked into a room. I was I was taking a class.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked into the room. I forgot everything.
Mm.
He just
had it. But you feel like he feels the same way about
yes,
you.
Yes, he does.
That's nice.
So I will let y'all know how that goes.
That's good. Well, let's just say he's like, he hits all bases. Like, he's everything. Let's just say hypothetically. Are you still looking into being in Triangle?
Yes. Yes, because I do feel that there will be things that, I don't know, is it possible for a person to hit everything?
Well, I believe in the 80-20. I'm married, so, you know, I believe it's never going to be perfect, but I believe that there has to be the good has to outweigh, you know what I mean, that 20%. It's always going to be there, and at the same time, I also think about even just in dating. I love dating, shit, and hey, you always make the perfect man with one little quality from everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, he likes to go dancing, so I do that with him on Tuesday. But, you know, his feet stink. So I hang out with, you know, this one over here. Get home, take off our shoes after dancing. And that's not going to happen again. You know, but I like to hang out with him because, you know, he's so worldly and he like likes to go to restaurants and we have good conversation and blah, blah, blah. Then I like him because, girl, he just serves the D. You know what I mean? And that's right. It. And I don't want to hear him talk too much. Plus, he got baby mama drama. So, you know, whatever. Oh, but then I like this one over here, like, I'm a dating connoisseur. Like, I know how to, like, you know, really put a nice little.
Okay, so then you probably together. Need to sit down with me and educate
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Now, I said this again. I'm married now.
Yeah, I know.
However, okay. You know, I think at that point, it's like, oh, I'm married because I want to be, not because I have to be. Like, I'm here because I want to be. But I do believe in shopping. I do believe you need to shop. You know what I mean? See what's really out there and see what you really want. Because I could have went in your direction. I'm like, oh, I kind of want to do the poly thing. But, you know, again, you find yourself creating the perfect one man. And if that is going to be a successful way to keep yourself happy at this stage of life and the mm-hmm. wisdom that you have, well, then shoot, go for it. What you got to lose?
Exactly.
What you got to lose?
Well, I thank you for your support.
Yeah, you got it. I'm going to make you a little jacket and everything. Look who's in the party.
Thank you both for your yeah. support. Thank yeah. you for coming in to sit with us again.
Sure, no problem.
Always school us. Wait, and can you tell us again the books to read about the polyamorous community?
Yep. The one is called The Ethical Slut.
Okay.
The other one is called Opening Up.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one is called Designer Relationships.
Okay. Slut, Opening Up, Designer Relationship. Okay.
Okay.
Got it. So hope y'all watching and heard that. Write it.
Got it.
Can I make this one little point though?
Yeah.
So okay. Shatara, you were mentioning about like some people are doing polyamory without knowing it. That's just cheating. So polyamory.
You know what? Turn your cameras off. Turn it off. Turn it off. No, I'm messing
up.
Polyamory
yes.
is when everybody knows what's going on.
Oh.
So that's called ethical non-monogamy. And so everyone knows that this person has a partner or this other person that we have an open relationship.
We all know. There's so no, if I see you roll no up in the room.
Uh-huh. If you see me roll up in a room with somebody else and you know I'm married, my husband knows that I'm here with this person. This isn't like, he's over here with so-and-so. It's not like, that's not what this is. Everybody knows what's going on.
It sounds like peace of mind.
It is.
It sounds like an investment in peace of mind.
And that's what I, yes.
Because ain't nothing like the, you feel when somebody walks in and you're creeping, that is, or you see something. So when you all know, then you're right. Everything is smooth sailing.
Yes. Thank you, Janae.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
She said, that's cheating.
Wow, that's cheating, right.
Sorry.
So that sums that up.
I'm quite a rascal. Don't mind me.
Relationships and keeping the whole relationship flow.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We have Camille Davis joining us.
Yes, Camille.
Camille, she's a consultant.
Mm-hmm.
She's a life coach.
Mm-hmm.
She is the founder of Divorce Not Defeated.
Okay.
And she's someone that I met a long time ago, and I'm so happy to see her again and that we were able to reconnect, and she's joining us now. Welcome to the show.
Welcome,
Camille.
Hey, welcome, Camille. Hey.
Hi, guys. Hey, thank
Camille.
You.
How are you
appreciate
doing?
It. I am so good. I'm so glad to be here with you guys on the Auntie Hour. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.
I am so glad. We tried a couple of times to connect, and this just was divine in order that mm-hmm. we were able to do this today. I'm so glad that you were able to join us.
Yes, I'm so excited to be here with you guys.
So I wanted to start out by talking to you about Divorce Not Defeated. And when mm-hmm. we met, you were really in the thick of that and building that whole community. And what inspired you to create this community, and how are things going there?
Well, if I can be honest with you, I was in the thick of it, like woo child. I was going through it, and it was really by accident, to be honest with you. I just needed an outlet to voice my opinions, my frustrations, and what I was going through. You know, nobody in my circle was experiencing what I was experiencing, and so I took it online, and quickly found out that it resonated with a lot of people. And it just kind of grew from there.
So where are you now with your whole community online? Have you expanded it all?
Yeah. So what has happened since the inception is that, you know, a lot of people were coming to me. They were asking me if I coach. And at that point in time, to be honest with you, I didn't. I had no idea what that was. Didn't know it existed. But quickly did some research on it, got my certification. And so, yes, we have expanded. I do have a private group and offer private coaching. And if I'm looking at it realistically, I think that many of us women who go through this type of situation, it comes down to really one thing, and that is our confidence, right? Because after such an event like this, a traumatic event or whatever have you, I think our confidence takes a dive. And so that's usually what I end up working most on with women who are going through divorce.
I see. And so when you're working with a new person, what are some of the steps that you take to get to know this person?
Yeah, so I really want to understand the situation that they've gone through. And we try to backtrack it a little bit. I might go back into some childhood situations as well, just to get an understanding of who they are as a person, what their experiences were coming up, and how they came to be in the relationship that they were in, and then how the relationship grew and then came to a resolution. So a couple of different phases, right? Kind of like a discovery phase, where am I now phase, and then where do you want to be? So some vision casting at the end about the type of life or the type of woman they want to see themselves as. And so we take the steps to get there.
I have a question. Do you ever, I know that you deal with just divorcing people. Do you find that women want to overcome more than men?
That's a great question. I find that women more so, you know, it's just who I am and who I speak to and who is drawn to me. But a lot of men do reach out for support and for help. And so that's not my journey, right? I can't really speak to that as an experience, but I am able to lead them into some resources that can assist them. But a lot of men struggle with divorce as well, and they struggle with heart trauma, just like women do, and at very serious levels, I might add. And so sometimes what I'll see is that the men find it a lot harder to deal with the divorce than women do. I think that so many of us get wrapped up in our own situations, we don't realize that, but it can be really devastating, just as devastating or more for men as well. And I've had times where I have had to kind of work alongside or work in conjunction with men to try to get them some immediate help and attention. So yeah, it can be very devastating for men as well.
And I think maybe I'm asking because it seems like it's so double standard. It seems as though like women are the ones who are mainly hurt. They got to figure out the kids, you know, like, and then it always seems as though, you know, men are the ones who kind of, you know, pick themselves up and they reinvent themselves and they go through these midlife crises and they, you know, get younger women and they just, they're snapped back, you know, emotionally. And again, it is just on the surface. It seems to be as though it doesn't hit them as hard as a woman.
I think it does. I think that men are just better equipped at compartmentalizing and not facing reality.
Okay. Oh, so they're not in. They're not good with facing reality. Thank you for that.
No, seriously, because you know, it's a situation. It affects them. It's traumatic for them just as much as it is for us. But like you said, you know, you see them then with the younger woman and then they're out there doing their thing and it seems like they're having a great life afterwards. But, you know, what you see on the outside is always not representative of what's going on the inside.
I always think of back in the day, we had a president named Bill Clinton and he got into some trouble, right?
Oh, yeah.
And just as women, I know that we're maternal, you know, we are emotionally intelligent more than a man, you know. I'm never trying to compete with a man. I know who I am. However, as a woman speaking, I thought to myself, now if the tables turn and it was Hillary Clinton, right? Now, mind you, we're in the White House.
Oh, boy.
This is what I thought. Now, he has Secret Service, right? And they're all keeping a secret. Everybody. Bill is like, 1-2-1-2. You know, I'm on my way down the hall.
Right.
And I thought, now, Hillary, being a mother, just, you know, as a representation as a woman, she has, you know, her man down the hall that she gets to connect with every day. But there's a million things that go through her mind before she can even enjoy herself and have fun. She's already prioritizing the what ifs. She's already putting the whole, oh my God, to risk it all. Like, we have to, we are capable and able to think of 100 things.
At one time
mm-hmm. that would 9 times out of 10 cause us to turn around and be like, you know what, it ain't even worth it. Let me turn around and go back.
And that, my dear friend, is exactly the problem with the crush.
Okay.
You have nailed it.
Okay. Okay.
Because there are all these other things that I'm processing while my body is doing all this stuff about him. Mm-hmm. My mind is processing all the other things mm-hmm. that come with that.
Right.
That come with this step.
Okay.
And it stops me. It stops me cold.
Prioritize, compartmentalize. So you were able to prioritize and stop yourself, whereas when they say, like, you know, men have an object that they think with, they're thinking with their, you know, mm-hmm. that's a real thing. That thing has a brain. And on top of it, it gives them the ability to, like, not care. Like, they have no sense of emotion. Like, you know, how could you risk it all? We have a family. What were you thinking? And he's like, I wasn't thinking. It's like, really? And you know what? You really weren't. You really weren't. But you over here, you know, having to pull it together. I got to pick up the kids from school. I got to finish taking these classes. Like, that's what it is. We're not capable of being as selfish. Beyonce sang about it, you know, just like, I'm jealous. I can't do, you know, I can't move the way you move. You know what I mean? Like, so I think, you know, just looking at divorce, yeah, it does come off as though they are able to brush it off their shoulders a little more, you know, and like you said, that's not really what it is. It's just for the surface.
Right.
I have a question for you, and it's related to some of the content that I saw that you post on Facebook, specifically related to closure and how this need for closure is somewhat of a trap when you're in going through a relationship or breaking up with someone. Could you speak to that a little bit?
Listen, sister girl, it is a trap. Here's the thing. We seek closure because we're logical, you know, we in our thought patterns, right? We want things to make sense to us. And from a relationship perspective, we want to understand what happened or what we did or what the other person was thinking so that we can process that and maybe have a different outcome the next time, right? That would be our thinking as women. And so what happens is, though, we go to the person who's betrayed us, who's broken our heart, right? And we expect them to give us that closure. Well, basically, that's going to them, and they have the power to whether you heal or not, because you're saying that you need this closure from them. So that in and of itself is a trap. It's like, why would I go back to the person who really, you know, either betrayed my trust or dismantled our family or whatever have you to look for this closure, so to say, right? Whether it's an explanation or an apology or anything of the like. And so I just find that a lot of women get trapped, they get stuck in this closure mode. Okay, well, I can move on once I have closure. Or, okay, Camille, I can do that once I really understand why. Well, guess what? They might not know why. They might have no clue. And like one of you were saying, I find that men just really don't have the capacity to work through those feelings as to why they took the actions they did. You know, like Shatara was saying, sometimes they just think with the other member and they have no understanding of why they did what they did. Yeah. So they can't offer you an explanation of something they don't even understand.
It's not gonna happen. He's empty. Don't ask him. Right. Nothing going on up there. That's terrible.
Right.
So we're giving them too much power by expecting some sense of closure. And I hear people say that, you know, I really need closure. And I know, you know, I've been heartbroken before. I have, and the one thing I never did was I never looked for closure. I find myself getting social. I found myself back out dating and just, you know, and even if I was avoiding heartache, it feels a lot better than being home crying. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I will not. Nope.
That's how I managed.
Get social. And then when they say, oh, he's a rebound. Yeah, that's fine. Before you know it, another year went by and you're like, oh my God, I forgot. I had just broke up with this one. Right. And oh wow, time went by fast and you're okay. That's just me. Not to say you have to, you know.
No, I think that that's a good plan of action moving forward, right? We need to be able to get back out there and figure out what makes us happy or what brings us joy. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, if it's a rebound, it's a rebound.
Hello.
You know, other things too, right? Hobbies, your lost loves of what you used to do, whether that's some type of creative expression or mm-hmm. Joanna was talking about she loves dance, if that's going out dancing by yourself, whatever it is, mm-hmm. right? Get back out there and do things that bring you some sense of joy. And like you said, by the time you know it, time has passed and you're not even, you know, remembering or considering the other person. So definitely.
Yeah, I'm all about it.
That's great. It is, in fact, requesting permission from the person who hurt you to get better. Yeah. That is exactly what it is.
Yeah, sure. Walk me through your thought process, why you did what you did.
Right.
But yeah. And they don't have the capacity to do that. They don't even understand why they did it. And I'm not going to give you that much power over me to say that you're the person that's going to allow me to heal. Mm-mm, no.
Right.
I might want an understanding of what happened, but I don't think that going back to the person who was the cause of that is the person who's going to be able to do that for you.
Oh, right.
Right.
So if you can say it was a good run, that's where you need to always. I'm good for that one. It was a good run. It was a good time.
We had fun.
It was, yeah, focus on all the good time. You know what I mean? We won't focus on the bad because I wouldn't have been there for a bad 3 years, let's say hypothetically. So there was some good time. Remember that? Your mom is amazing. I don't plan on seeing her again, though. So you go right on ahead. And it's good to meet you. It was good. We had a good time, you know. And I wish you all the best, sincerely. I won't let you get that deep. I won't let you. Oh, they hate me. Oh, my God.
I'm sure they do.
Thinking. I love that. Because I was there. It was good at some point, right? So listen, there's some things I can take from this, you know, some positives, some negatives, some things I know I won't do again.
Right.
Some things that I know that I won't, some places I won't put myself again or allow myself to be again.
Right.
Because you've shown me that this is what can happen.
Right.
But I take those life lessons and I keep moving.
And they keep you connected with yourself.
Yes.
They keep you connected.
So we're about out of time. Where can people find you, Camille?
Yeah, so great. So it's more so of an activation for women who are divorced, just to help them kind of reconnect with, you know, their self-worth and their confidence. And so worthywomanchallenge.com is the place to go and find that information.
Nice. Worthy Women.
Okay.
Yes.
Very nice. Thank you, Camille.
Thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. You have a good one. And thank you.
Thank you all. Yeah, that was a good time. I got some stuff from that.
I got
some stuff off my chest.
Yes, I see. I see. And now I've got to really think through this whole polyamory thing. I'll figure it out and I'll let you guys know how it goes.
Yay.
And we'll see you next time.
Until next time, yes. Thank you for joining us for the Auntie Hour.
Yes. Bye-bye. Toodles.
Ciao. I'll say Bella.